Psalm 78, 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Let us pray. Father, we praise you, Father. Father, we praise the Son and the Holy Spirit, Father. Father, as we gather for a time of digging into your word, Father, I just pray that we would look at our own lives, Father. Holy Spirit, come and just melt our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts, Father, for the words that you have given our pastor, Father. Father, we pray that we would take this word, we would listen, we would apply it to our lives, and we would go out and we would live it out, Father. Father, we pray for our pastor, the words that he speaks, Father. Hide him behind the cross and let Jesus shine through him, Father. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I'd just like to reiterate a word of thanks for all of you that came out to serve at Harvest Fest. That is a beautiful event, an outreach. Even Chester County government came and said, "Hey, we're going to take some footage because we want to show people what's going on here." And so thank you for being willing to give up your time and your talents and even your treasures to make that happen. The gospel of Jesus is shared in multiple ways through there, and the love of Jesus is on display in all of you. So thank you for all of that. Just some interaction here to begin with. So by show of hands, how many of you are scared of the dark? How many of you are scared of the dark? All right, there's like three hands. So how many of you are scared of raising your hands in public? All right, there you go. So maybe you don't just have this overwhelming fear of the dark, but have any of you ever been walking along in the dark with a flashlight and all of a sudden the battery in that flashlight dies and you are surrounded by darkness? Anybody been there? That's not a good feeling, right? And that walk that you were taking that seemed pretty safe when you had that light, it becomes something completely different. You trip over stuff that you can't see. You walk into that spider web and turn into a ninja. And every noise that you hear around you causes you a little bit of anxiety because you're not quite sure what's making it, right? You walk in the dark long enough, you're liable to get lost, especially if you don't know where you really are. And you'll definitely fall if you keep going far enough and the dark stays. It's just not fun, right? Not fun to be unexpectedly in the dark. Not fun to try and find your way along in the dark. But how many of us are doing just that? How many Christians walk through life fumbling their way through the darkness of this world without a light? Without a light. Because we don't pick it up. Because we think we're just going to somehow find our way blindly along, just fumbling in the darkness. Because we won't pick it up and read it. So many people I talk to, professing Christians, totally afraid each and every day because they don't have a light in front of them. They haven't filled their life with light. They may have made a profession of faith in the light of the world in Jesus Christ, but they don't have that light as they walk through each and every day. And so they're terrified when they turn the news on and hear about conflicts in the Middle East or hear these fear mongers that are just trying to control them with that fear. They are terrified because they haven't had a light to follow. See, that's what life without the Word of God, daily interaction, daily reading, daily study. That's what it is. We're walking in darkness without a light. The Word of God tells us that this Word is a light. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But if the Word is closed and not hidden in our hearts, then we're going to fall down. We will be fearful and anxious about what's going on around us. We'll likely find ourselves in a place we don't know, becoming people we don't want to be. Because we're fumbling around in the dark, just trying to figure out where we're going. I think one of Satan's greatest victories has been in the decreasing numbers of readers in the world. Decreasing number of people that read. Why? Because God has chosen to record His Word in the written Word. And praise be to God that He's given us some technological advances, right? That we can listen to this now and hear it on audiobooks. But there is much to be said about the ability and desire to sit down with the Word of God and meet God there. To fill yourself with the light. To learn about who He is and what He's done for us. But if we're going to get to know Him that way, we've got to open the Bible. Statistically, it just doesn't happen. 10% of believers in America read their Bibles daily. 10%. Only 39% in America say that they read their Bible multiple times a year. That's down 11% since 2020. COVID hit, and instead of diving into the Word of God, we dove into fear, and we dove into the newspapers and into the media, and we said, let me just see how afraid I can get of all these things and listen to all these doctors instead of going to the light and saying, how am I supposed to live in this? 11% decrease. I don't know if you're in that number of non-readers, but I hope you aren't, because the Word of God is vital to our walk with the Lord. The number one indicator of whether you'll grow spiritually is whether you open this and study it. Reading the Word of God is the number one indicator of whether you will grow in your faith. And those numbers say that's not happening. 10% read it daily. This has been captured by our beloved Creator, written down, so that we could know Him, we could know His glorious deeds, and we could know that we have fallen short, but that we could know that He made a way for us to be reconciled to Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, at the cross of Calvary. He did that. And what do we do with it? We leave it sitting on a shelf somewhere. We pick it up when we head out on Sunday mornings. Because we got to look like we read it, right? And here's the thing. If you're not reading it, adult, if we as adults are not opening the Word of God and reading it, how much less are our children? And if you want your child to come to faith in the Lord and grow in their faith, then you got to have them in the Word. And it's got to be more than a Sunday morning faith. It's got to be more than what they're going to get out of Sunday school and children's church and Wednesday night for a couple of hours. We must saturate their lives with it so that they can come to know, love, and obey God. And you as parents and we as the church are commanded to teach the next generation the Word of God. Listen to the Scriptures and just be convicted as I was. Psalm 71:18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Psalm 79:13. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Psalm 102:18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. You think about that. He's saying, what you proclaim in your house right now, the word that you teach to your children, you are doing so that it can be proclaimed to your great-great-grandchildren that you're never going to see. And they can proclaim it to strangers and to everybody else. Psalm 145:4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that we might preserve us, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. And just so you think it didn't stop in the Old Testament, it says it in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The instruction of the Lord is the Word of God. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that starts in your house. By repeating this command, God wants us to know without a shadow of a doubt that believers are to pass the word of God from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, so that there does not rise up a generation that does not know God. God loves you. He loves your children even more than you do. He doesn't want them wandering in the darkness of this sinful world without a light to guide them. And his plan has been and always will be for his church, his people, chiefly believing parents, to fill their children's hearts and minds with the Word of God so that they will always have a light to guide them. That's what we see in Psalm 78, another command. Asaph, a Levitical music leader during King David's time, he reiterates God's command to teach future generations the Word of God. And he tells them why it's so vital. Beginning in verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my teachings. He's putting his money where his mouth is, right? He's teaching the Word of God. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. There are a lot of well-meaning parents that have strong opinions about things of the world. And they try to make their children into good people. But they do so as they are blindly walking in darkness themselves, being led by how they feel and being led by cultural norms. They are blind guides leading their blind children, and they're not leading them into the light. They just blindly lead them into what they think is right with no understanding of the absolute truth of God's word to illuminate their journey. And I want you to understand, there is no good without the word of God. It does not exist. But we should want for our children to figure out how to walk in the light, how to be godly people. And if we will do that, if we want to teach our children to walk with Jesus, if we want to do everything we can to make sure they come to faith and would be co-heirs with us of eternity, then we must walk them through the Word. We must walk them through the Word. Brothers and sisters, we must spend time every day walking our children through the Word of God so they can learn to walk with Jesus in this sin-corrupted world. And I say you got to do this daily because you and your children are inundated daily with messages that are deceptive and contrary to the Word. Any guesses on how many advertisements the average American is exposed to daily? Just shout it out. Any guesses? Over 5,000. Any more? 271. Very precise. little bit more than that. The average American, Noah, you were right in there. The average American is exposed to 4,000 to 10,000 ads per day. 4,000 to 10,000 ads per day. And I would venture to say that the majority of those images are not telling your children to follow Jesus, that they are not pointing them to the Word of God. So if your children are seeing that many messages that are telling them to seek the pleasures of this world and hearing only once or twice a week about the things of God, which one do you think is likely to win? Which one's going to win in their lives? See, God knew that we would have ample distractions and that Satan would find more and newer ways to keep us from the Word. And so the truth of Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 rings true and is ever so important in our lives. He says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates." Every day, your child needs to be saturated with the Word of God. You need to be saturated with the Word of God so that you will be able to walk in the light and the darkness of this world. See, the reality is, we're sending our kids out into the darkness of this sinful world every day. No matter how hard we try to protect them, no matter if we homeschool them, if we keep them with us all the time, they're going to hear songs on the radio, they're going to see images on the billboards as they ride down the road, they're going to be inundated with their peers at different sporting events. Every way they are going to be inundated with this message that says, live for yourself, become your own God. You can do whatever you want to do because you are the only one that matters. The idolatry of self, they're going to be inundated with that. And if we are sending them out into the world without the Word of God, we are sending them into darkness without a light, weak and vulnerable. Is that something a good parent does? Does a good parent send their weak and vulnerable child out into a dangerous place and just say, "Well, you know, hope you make it back"? I don't think anybody would say that's a good parent. No, a good parent protects their children and does everything in their power to do so. A good parent teaches their child to protect themselves. We will protect them eternally. We must walk them through the Word. And we do that by sharing the good parts and the bad parts, right? Asaph wrote in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children. We will not hide these parables and these dark things that have been revealed, but tell them to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done." Don't you understand? He's not saying you're going to tell them all these beautiful things for behavior modification. He's not saying you're just trying to get a well-behaved child. He's saying, "I want you to tell them about the wonder of God." Asaph wants his children, our children, all the generation of children to come to know the glorious goodness of God. See, the goodness of God is what we teach our children first. The goodness of God is what we teach our children first. His glorious deeds, His might, and the wonders that He has done. Asaph spends another 72 verses laying out how evil the Israelites were, how they fell time and time again, but how the glorious, loving patience of God won in their lives over and over and over again. See, from the time you find out you're having a child to the day that you're called home by the Lord, your children in utero, toddlers, teens, and adults should hear the praises of God on your lips. They should come around you and hear, "How great is our God." We teach them all the love and grace that God showed for His people, the creation of mankind. Why? For a close, loving relationship with our Creator. The mercy of God in sparing Noah and his family and the animals on the earth when all they deserved was death. The calling of Abraham to bless the world. The deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt and the deliverance of His people into the promised land, even as they continually rebelled against Him. God's provisions for the needs of this rebellious people. And ultimately, we tell them about His sending our Savior, Jesus Christ, to deliver us once and for all from our sin. Recounting the acts of Jesus as He walked the earth, healing, calming storms, and doing the miraculous. We teach them about God's gifting of His Spirit to guide us into all righteousness. Just a verse a day that speaks of His glorious deeds, His might, and His wonders will lead them into truth and show them that He is God and there is no other. They will hear how awesome He is, and they will learn to love Him. And when they love Him, they will want to live in a way that brings Him glory. See, they got to know His love before they understand their own sinfulness. They got to see how great He is so that they can see that they fall short of His glory. And it is when they know Him and His wondrous deeds and His might that they will then say, that is the God I want. I rejoice every day because Eddie Black shared the story of Jesus telling the disciples to put their nets on the other side. And my son saw in that story that Jesus is good and could be his Savior. And it was then that he said, Daddy, I'm a sinner. On a car ride home, I know I fall short of Jesus, but I am a sinner, and He is good, and I want Him. And if a six-year-old can do that, so can you. Asa says that's the whole point in teaching children the Word of God. Psalm 78, 6 through 8, he says that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. That is what you want for your children. No matter where they are in life, adult, not yet born, wherever they are, you want them to put their hope in Jesus. And they'll only do that if they hear the Word of God. 10 minutes a day in the Word, singing praises for the great things He had done will help secure an eternity for your child, and it is worth it. This is not a guarantee of their salvation, but in pouring the Word of God into them, you will know that you are doing everything in your power to get them to Jesus. You'll say, I'm unwilling to send you out into this darkness without a light. And as they grow, you won't keep the hard parts from them. You won't keep the hard parts of your testimony or the hard parts of Scripture from them. As they grow up, you can share with them your own sinful rebellion and failures and how God loved you still. They need to see how God's Word has proved true in your life. And you share these things not so they'll imitate your drunkenness or drug addiction or what sexual immorality, but so they can avoid those pitfalls in their life as they hear how horrible it turned out for you when you fell into those things, but how loving God is and that He delivered you from them all. Asa says in Psalm 78, 8, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Asa said that's the goal. They put their hope in God. They obey His commandments, and they aren't like those rebellious people that came before them. If you don't want better for your child than you're living right now, then something is wrong with you. We should always want them to stand on our shoulders and reach heights that we never reached. To walk with the Lord in a way that we never got to. And you share God's faithful work in your life and His mercy and grace and delivering you from evil, and your children may be able to avoid the sins that you fell to. But even when they do sin, because they're going to, they will know that they can call out to God because He is there and able to deliver them. So your children don't need to look at you and think you've always been perfect. They need to look at you and see that God has saved you from your sin, that the gospel is real in your life. They need to know that you heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came to earth to die for your sins, that you admitted your sinfulness, repented of your sins, and confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you saw the goodness of God on display and knew that He was a loving God that you had to have. No matter how dark it is, no matter how much you hate it, your children need to hear your testimony. They need to hear how the Word changed you. For the parents that are out there right now, no matter what age your children are at, have they heard your testimony? Have they heard how God saved you? What He saved you out of? You can leave some of the junk out when they're young, but they need to hear that testimony of the power of God's Word over and over as they grow. They need to hear the difference that He makes. I want you to understand, you don't have to have a seminary degree to share God's Word with your children. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be willing and to be obedient to what God has commanded you. You just pick it up and read, and the Holy Spirit will show them the truth. And if they ask questions you don't have the answers to, you say, I don't know, but we're going to try and find out together. You send me an email with a question that your child has, I will be glad to search for that answer with you. Because my hope is that this generation, the next generation, and all those unknown generations to come will hear of the mighty deeds of God, love Him, and live in obedience to Him. That they will put their hope in Jesus and help others do the same. And that'll only happen if they're in the Word, and that starts at home. That starts with you, where the Word of God is read, memorized, and put into practice. To help with that, we have a family resource page on our website. There's a QR code behind me that'll lead you to it, or you can go to harmony.church/family-resources. We have ideas for bedtime routines with the Word, Bible stories, scripture challenges for you to use with your family. My family, on the way to school, I give the phone to Hayden. I say, Hayden, go to where we are in Philippians. And he begins reading wherever we are in Philippians, and then we recite that verse for that week over and over every day as we're going. And there's some days we don't because we were irritated with each other and don't want to talk. But by and large, that's every day the way that we get through that. And when we get to school, we pray. God, let us be a light in this classroom. Brothers and sisters, together, we can ensure that there does not arise a generation at Harmony Baptist Church that does not know God. And that is worth whatever it costs. I hope it's worth that to you. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, you are good. I pray that everyone that's drawing breath that is listening to this online or right here in person, God, that they know that. That you are good and that your steadfast love endures forever. God, that you are worthy of their worship, worthy of their very lives. And I know there's likely one in here today, God, that has never known Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've never even thought about it. I pray that they understand that Jesus is real, that He is the Son of God who came and was born of a virgin that lived a perfect life. The God-man who the fullness of God dwelled, but who gave up part of that, emptied Himself of it, that He might live here with us and show us who God is and what we must do to be saved. That right now they know that He went to the cross for their sins. That nobody else could die this way, that nobody else would die this way, but that He went to the cross where you, God, poured out your wrath for the sins of the faithful upon Him, God, that all those that come to faith in Jesus come because He was willing to go to that cross. And they will know right now, God, that they are a sinner, that they have lied, that they have stolen, that they have had another God before you, and in that truth, that the wages of sin is death. But that right now, because of Jesus, the free gift that you offer them is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that they can put down all that junk they've been trying to fill their lives with and come to Jesus in faith. I pray, God, that if that's one here today, that they would do that. We've seen the beautiful baptism of Drew, God, and seen that work in his life. So won't you do it in somebody else's? God, I pray for the one that's been neglecting your word, that today might be a day that they say, I need this light because I am tired of wandering in the darkness. God, will you help them to figure out how it works best for them to open that word every day, and especially to share it with their little ones, that they would not send them out into the darkness of this world vulnerable and weak, but strong in the Lord. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.